Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Christchurch Baldock in North Herts. It's lovely to have your company this evening. My name is Chris Jenkins. I'm one of the ministers here. This is my wife, Becca.
Hello.
It's lovely to have your company tonight. Great to see so many of you writing in. Evening to Maria, and evening to John Sawbridge and Moira.
Yes, thank you so much for signing in on the chat to let us know that you're watching. It's really encouraging to us to know that we're having fellowship with you. I don't know how your week's been. Ours has been up and down. I think we've all missed the sunshine. But our weekend was really made more special by a couple of doorstep visitors this weekend. You know who you are, but it really cheered us up. So thank you. It makes such a difference to see people in person, even at two arms length, doesn't it?
Let's begin with a prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your presence with us this evening. We worship you. You are a great and glorious and holy God. You are the sovereign over all things. And we bow in your presence. And we acknowledge, Lord, our sin. We acknowledge that we have no right to come into your presence this evening. But we thank you so much for Christ, Thank you that he died on the cross there for us and paid for all our sin, that we might be forgiven. And so we come to you tonight, Father, trusting in Christ and in him alone. And we pray that you will draw near to us, fill us afresh with your Spirit, speak to us from your word, and enable us to go on our way rejoicing, committed to serving Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. A few notices for you. Since we're not able to meet for our prayer meetings before the services, we're suggesting that everyone just pauses and stops 10 to 6, 5 to 6, and actually prays for the services and the meetings. We'd really appreciate your prayer for that. Then there's the missionary prayer meeting on Zoom tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Do join us if you can for that. We'd really love to have your company. It's so important that we support our missionaries in prayer. And the details are on the notices email regarding that. On Friday at 10:30, there's another interchurch family service. The last one was fantastic. Hannah's one of the leaders of that. And it'll be a great time to share with, as a family, on Friday morning. So do tune in for that. Exploring Christianity concludes this week. Please pray that those who've attended the course would put their faith in Christ and turn to him in repentance. It's been a good course, so please pray for that. If you'd like to join us on Wednesday, you'd be very welcome. And finally, if you're not in a home group, this is a great time to join one. While we're isolated from one another, it's a great thing to be connected up through home groups, to pray for one another and to support one another. So do take advantage of that. Contact me if you'd like more details. Now we're going to have a ministry update from Hannah.
Hi, how are you? I hope you're well. I hope you're keeping safe and staying close to the Lord at this weird time. I've been asked just to share a little bit about what is happening throughout the week for our kids and youth. So let me tell you a bit about that. So we're producing weekly videos for our tots, that's fives and under, and our kids, that's those in primary school. And at the moment, our tots age are looking at creation. So each week seeing a different part of the world that God has made. And our kids are studying the Sermon on the Mount. So thinking about what it means to of Jesus in him. And I'm really grateful to various different leaders who are produce those videos. Big shout out to Sarah and Helen, who have completely taken on the production of those videos for our tots age group. But thank you so much to everyone who's got involved. If you haven't yet, you'll probably be hearing from me soon. And for our youth end, we are basically we're on Zoom and we're doing some Bible studies. So for younger youth, we meet after the Sunday morning service, and we're currently using video Bible talks. So we're watching a video talk together and then chatting through it, and we're looking at the book of Exodus. And with RBS, so with our older youth, we are doing a Bible overview on Thursday nights. Again, big shout out to those who've got involved. Thank you so much for your time. And we are also doing an all-youth hangout on Sunday nights after the evening service, where we just play a game or we have a quiz and we have a laugh together. And this week, one of our young people is actually hosting that. So they've introduced a new rule that whoever wins preps it for next week. So yeah, a lot of fun. And it's really great just to chill out together, really, and hang out. We are also involved in some wider church stuff. So every sort of 4 to 6 weeks, we are a part of some interchurch kids services online. So we did one on Good Friday, and it was amazing. We had way more engagement than we were expecting, so much so that we're doing it again this coming Friday. So both bank holidays, we've put something on for families. So anyone can engage with that, actually. I saw lots of messages from people who didn't actually have kids but watched it and really enjoyed it. So do keep an eye out for the link to that, which will go out in the next few days. And I'm part of a team that plan a national youth event called Sorted, Sorted Nano. and sorted nanos for 11 to 14 year olds. It was due to happen on the 6th of June. Clearly, even if lockdown restrictions are lifted, that won't be happening in person, but we are moving it online and we are really excited about that. It feels like a huge opportunity to engage people than we normally would. So again, there'll be more information coming out on that, but that's a really great thing to be a part of, and just to help us remind young people that the church is massive and God is at work, particularly amongst young people right now. So I'd really value your prayers for both of those projects. Personally, I would love prayer for just energy and motivation this week. I've found it harder than any week yet in lockdown. I'm sure everyone is feeling the same, but it just feels long, doesn't it? And I'd really love some family. A few of my friends have some quite big life things happening right now, really positive things, but it's sad not to be able to sort of engage with that. And while I'm very grateful for online platforms to be able to stay in touch, it's not the same, is it? So yeah, prayer for motivation and focus in all of that. I'm so thankful for the wonderful church family at Christchurch. People are helping and supporting and just leading with stuff. It genuinely is such an encouragement to me and such a privilege to be a part of such a loving family. Thank you all for your kind words. Yeah, just keeping in touch. I'd really value prayer as well, just for this to be a brilliant springboard in which we can just continue to progress in our kids and youth ministry provision. We were due to make some changes in April to the way that our Sunday morning kids provision looked. Clearly that's slightly on hold, but yeah, prayer for that as we then start to think about being back together would be great. And just prayer that families would really be engaging in opening the Bible with their kids, and that we as a church could really support them in that, just continue to provide stuff that is help. So I hope that gives you a bit of an overview. I've gone way over the time limit that I was given, so apologies for that. But if you would like to be hearing more about what goes on, I do send a weekly email to parents and leaders just to keep them in the loop. I'd be very happy to add you to that if you'd like some links or some content, perhaps to pass on to your own family and friends. So just drop me an email if you'd be interested in that. But God bless. Looking forward to seeing you all soon. Bye.
Thank you, Hannah. It's lovely to hear from you, and it's lovely to hear about all that the Lord is helping you to do. Let's turn to prayer now, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love and your faithfulness. We thank you, Father, that you are the same God, yesterday, today, and forever. Father, even though our circumstances are very unusual, we can still trust you. Thank you, Father, that as we turn to you in prayer, we are coming to the one who is the creator and sustainer of the universe, and who knows all things, and who is sovereign over all things. And Lord, that truth about you awes our hearts and should cause us to bow before you in worship and wonder and love. Father, as we think about our church family and our own families, we're so thankful that we can bring one another to you, the great and mighty God. Lord, that we're not helpless, that we're not alone. Father, we do bring to you the ministry to children and young people. Thank you so much for Hannah, for the gift that you've given her, and for the gift that she is to the church. Thank you for all those who've been involved in the youth and children's ministry over the years, and particularly in these last few weeks. Lord, we thank you so much for the human resources that you give to the church in order to build up every area of ministry. Father, we pray for the children. Lord, we thank you that they can know you in a real way. And we pray that as they study your words together as families and using the videos, that they would really grow in their knowledge and love of you. That this time of being more intensely together as a family would be really a great spiritual blessing to the children. We pray too, Lord, for the young people. Lord, so many adjustments for them to make in their lives, with study being different, friendships feeling very different. I pray, Lord, that they would be very aware that you are the same. And I pray that they would find their security, their identity and their confidence in you. Pray that they'd be encouraged as they meet together on Zoom. And that they'd be helped to stand firm for you. Lord, we pray that you'd sustain Hannah and all those involved in the youth and children's ministry. You'd give them imagination and creativity, help them to be faithful to your word. We pray especially for the interchurch event on Friday. Lord, thank you so much for the joy of seeing people from different churches working together in this wonderful, lively way. We pray that that ministry will be really fruitful. We pray that families who don't normally go to church would tune in and be really excited by what they see and hear. Lord, that's our prayer for all our ministry, that it would stimulate a love for Jesus in all of us and spread the good news about him abroad. We continue to pray, Lord, for those who are serving you overseas. Pray for your protection, health-wise and emotionally and spiritually. We pray, Father, very much for those who are preaching the gospel online in these new circumstances. Lord, we pray that your gospel would bear fruit all over the world. Lord, as we come to your word now, we pray again that you would open it to us, that you would reveal yourself to us afresh, and that we would love you and trust you and want to obey you. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Amen.
And now Tamsin is going to bring us our reading, which is from Genesis chapter 21. Thank you, Tamsin, for reading for us. So if you'd like to get your Bibles ready, here is the reading.
The reading today is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 21, verses 1 to 21. That's chapter 21. To Sarah, as he said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son. When his son Isaac was 8 years old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. The child grew and was weaned. And on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham was mocking. And she said to Abraham, get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that woman's son will never share in the inheritance with Mok. The matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. But God said to him, do not be so distressed about the boy and your slave woman. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the slave into a nation also, because he is your offspring. Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. The water in her skin was gone. She put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down. About a bell shot away, for she thought, I cannot let the boy die. And as she sat there, she began to sob. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand. I will make him into a great nation. Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt.
Thank you to Tamsin. Well, please do keep that passage open and let's look at it together. If I could only choose one author and one set of books to have with me on a desert island, I think I would choose C.S. Lewis and the Chronicles of Narnia. These children's stories about the magical land of Narnia are truly wonderful. They're a picture of the Christian life. In Prince Caspian, Lucy enters Narnia again, and she hasn't seen Aslan, the lion figure who represents Christ. She hasn't seen him in a long, long while, and so they have a wonderful reunion. Lucy says to Aslan, who represents Christ, Aslan, you're bigger now. Aslan says, Lucy, that's because you're older. You see, Lucy, every year that you grow, you will find me bigger. And that's how it is for us in the Christian life. Every year we grow, we find him bigger. Bigger in his grace and in his goodness and in his faithfulness and in his promises upon which we can depend all the days of our lives. Does God keep his promises? Of course he does. But you can't be a Christian very long before you ask that question. It's a very important question. The Christian life is a life of faith. It's a life of trusting that God will keep his word to us. God trained Abraham and Sarah to be people of faith, to believe that God would keep his promises. In Genesis 12, God calls Abraham. He promises to make Abraham into a great nation and promised to give the land of Canaan to Abraham's descendants. There was only one problem. Abraham and Sarai had no children, and they were old. Abraham was at this stage 75 years old. His wife was 10 years younger. Nonetheless, God promises Abraham in Genesis 15 that his descendants will be like the stars in the sky. And later he says, they'll be like the sand on the seashore. Abraham and Sarai didn't find it easy to believe God. They didn't find it easy to trust God's word. And so in chapter 16, in desperation, because they've still not produced an heir, Sarai tells Abraham to father a child with her Egyptian slave, Hagar. This is not an act of faith. It was an act of unbelief. And it only leads to misery. Hagar comes to despise Sarai and vice versa. Abraham's story is a series of failures to believe God's promises. It's a series of very human mistakes. But ultimately, Abraham becomes a man of faith and a friend of God. Today, here in Genesis 21, we see that God keeps his promise to Abraham and Sarah, as they're now called. A son is born to them, through whom all God's purposes would be fulfilled. Today we see that God is a promise-keeping God. Three headings: God keeps his promise to Sarah, God keeps his promise to Hagar, and God keeps his promises to us. Firstly then, God keeps his promises to Sarah, verse 1. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. God is a promise-keeping God. He doesn't make it easy for us to believe his promises. In this case, Abraham and Sarah waited 25 years for the promise to be fulfilled. Verse 3, Abraham gave him the name Isaac to the son that Sarah bore him. Isaac means he laughs. When Sarah is promised a son by God in chapter 18, she laughs. She laughs in unbelief. So there's a double meaning here. Abraham and Sarah are laughing with joy, but there's still the memory that they laughed in unbelief. Verse 4, when his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. God had made this the sign of the covenant between God and Abraham in chapter 17. God would be the one who blesses his people. His people would be faithful to him. Circumcision is a sign of this. And amazingly, verse 5, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. God made Abraham and Sarah wait. He made their situation look hopeless. And then he kept his promise. This is a crucial insight into God's dealings with us. He certainly tests our faith. He deliberately makes it hard to believe him. Joseph, Moses, David, several others, all had to wait years for the fulfillment of God's promises. Many Christian parents are left praying for their unconverted children for years. Many Christians are left praying for a job or for some other need. And just when you're beginning to abandon all hope, God acts. And he says, in effect, "Why didn't you believe me?" I had a friend who was made redundant. He obviously prayed for a new job. He was unemployed for a year. And then, just when his savings were about to run out, God gave him a new, well-paid job. That's often how God acts. He tests our faith. Will we really rely on him? Well, Sarah is amazed at what God has done for her. Verse 6, Sarah said, "God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me." Sarah is thrilled and amazed that God has kept his promise. Verse 7, and she added, "Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." God keeps his promises to Sarah. Secondly, God keeps his promises to Hagar. We've already seen that there is great tension and animosity between Sarah and Hagar. The media has a massive influence on our lives. Think of the TV show Friends, which ran from 1994 till 2004, and is now one of the most popular shows on repeat. Funny, right? But not innocent. A survey of all 236 episodes showed that the characters had a total of 85 sexual partners. And that's only counting those who appeared on the screen. What does that do to us? More than we realise. What the media does is normalise things. If you see likeable characters on TV having promiscuous sex, it becomes not only acceptable, but desirable. The story of Abraham and Hagar shows us it's not good to have more than one sexual partner, and that sex belongs within marriage. It can only lead to people being hurt when we disobey God, in this way or in any other way. Well, verse 8, the child Isaac grew and was weaned. And on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. This was to mark the milestone in the child's life. Verse 9, but Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham was mocking. And she said to Abraham, get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac. The matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. Abraham still hasn't fully understood God's promise will only be fulfilled through Isaac, through the child of the promise. He's still imagining that he'll have two heirs. But God said to him, verse 12, do not be so distressed about the boy and your slave woman. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Isaac is the one. However, verse 13, God says, I will make the son of the slave into a nation also, because he is your offspring. God keeps the promise he made in chapter 16. Hagar had run away because of the difficulties with Sarai. God promised then, chapter 16, verse 10, I will increase your descendants so much they'll be too numerous to count. Ishmael, of course, becomes the father of the Arab nations. Nonetheless, Abraham must do a painful thing. Verse 14. Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulder and then sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. She was abandoning him to die of thirst. Then she went off and sat down about a bow shot away, for she thought, I cannot watch the boy die. And as she sat there, she began to sob. But wonderfully, verse 17, God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what's the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation. Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt. God's ultimate plan for the world was through Isaac. But God graciously also had a merciful plan for Ishmael. God keeps all his promises. What does the New Testament make of the story of Sarah and Hagar, of Isaac and Ishmael? Well, thirdly, it shows us that God keeps his promises to us. You might like to turn now to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. In Galatians 4, the Apostle Paul is addressing a church which started off well, but which has moved into false teaching. They started with the gospel of God's grace through Christ. Now they're moving back to salvation through obedience to Jewish law. Paul says to them that if they are to follow the true path, they must follow Sarah and Isaac. If they follow the path of law, then they're following Hagar and Ishmael. They have to choose. Will they be people of the promise, people who live by faith, or will they be people of legalism? Paul challenges the Galatians in chapter 4, verse 21. Tell me, you who want to be under law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born according to the flesh, but his son by the free woman was born as a result of a divine promise. That's the choice the Galatians faced. That's the choice all people face. Will we try and get ready for heaven by the promise of God, or by the flesh, by human effort? Paul continues, Galatians 4:24. These things are being taken figuratively. The women represent two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. If anyone tries to get right with God by keeping laws, the Old Testament law was given at Mount Sinai. If anyone thinks they can get right with God by keeping laws, such as being circumcised, they need to understand verse 25. Now, Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children. Paul is saying, remarkably, that the Jewish nation, attempting to get right with God through circumcision and through law, is actually following Ishmael and Hagar. But, verse 26, the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, be glad, barren woman, you who never bore a child. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are never in labour, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. This is a repeated pattern in the Bible. God takes childless women and makes them the means of fulfilling his promise. Verse 28. Now you, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. Christian people are descended from Sarah and from Isaac. We are children of promise. God makes a promise. We trust him. He keeps his promise. God keeps his promises to us. Verse 29. At that time, the son born according to the flesh persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It's the same now. Those who are trying to get to heaven by good works persecute those who are going to heaven by trusting God's promise. It was ever thus. Verse 30. But what does the scripture say? Here Paul quotes Genesis 21 verse 10. Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. It's not possible to belong to Hagar and to Sarah. You can't be brought into God's people by faith in a promise and by trusting in religious good works. We have to choose. It's one or the other. Paul wants us to know in Galatians 4:31, therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. We are all, as Christians, descendants from Isaac. We are all children of promise, of the free woman. This is how we start the Christian life. And this is how we continue in the Christian life. We start with a promise. The same promise is made repeatedly through the Bible. John 1:12 is a very good example. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. In other words, all those who receive Christ as Saviour, as Rescuer, and as King, to those who welcome him gladly into their lives, who love him, who trust in God's promise, or believe in his name, all those who do this, they're given the right to become children of God. The Jewish leaders, by and large, would not do this. They preferred to stick with law over promise, circumcision, food laws, Jewish tradition. This is where they placed their hope. John is saying that if we believe the promise that is in Jesus, we will be children of God. That's how we start the Christian life. We believe a promise. We believe that in Jesus we find God, and that in Jesus we find all that we need for this life and for eternity. We trust in Jesus. We're given eternal life. We are made children of God. This is how we start the Christian life. And this is how we go on in the Christian life. The temptation is always to go back to law. We may not be tempted by the legalism of circumcision, but we can still be tempted by legalism. Even good things can become legalism. So we think we're accruing brownie points with God by coming to church, or by having a quiet time, or engaging in some good works. We think God must be pleased with me because I've done X for him. And then, of course, When we fail, which we inevitably do, we think, well, I can't go to church now because I failed. I failed to keep the law. I can't have a quiet time now because I failed. I failed to keep the law. I've had this kind of conversation with Christians so many times. Our confidence is not in Christ and what he's done. Our confidence is in what we do for God. And then, when we fail, we fall into terrible condemnation. But we're not called to live by law. We're called to live by faith, to believe God's promises. I'm never good enough for God. I'm never good enough to come to church. I'm never good enough to serve God. I'm never good enough to have a quiet time. I don't deserve anything from God apart from his condemnation. But I am not trusting in law and good works. We're not trusting in those things. We're trusting in God's promise. John 1:12. To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We are those who believe and are saved. This is how we go on in the Christian life. This is how we live as Christians. Every day, Lord, I believe your promises. I believe your promises for my salvation. I believe your promises to keep going in the Christian life. I believe that you can always be trusted. And then, of course, having believed, having put our faith in Christ, we want to serve him, don't we? We want to serve him with all the energy and the strength that he gives us. We want to live for Christ. So, does God keep his promises? That's where we started. The answer is, yes, he does. God always keeps his promises. Therefore, he can be trusted. Abraham and Sarah should have believed this. They shouldn't have taken matters into their own hands. They shouldn't have involved Hagar. Abraham shouldn't have fathered Ishmael. And yet, God is so gracious, even to Hagar and Ishmael. God keeps his promises to them too. Will you trust him? Will you put your trust in him? Maybe for the first time, will you put your trust in Christ and in God's promises? And if you are a Christian, will you go on trusting Christ? Will you go on believing God's promises? Will you go on trusting God's promises in his word? As we reflect on God's word, we're going to sing a song together now. It's called He Will Hold Me Fast. And it's a song about God's faithfulness, God's sovereign grace, that even though we might be tempted to let go of him, he never lets go of us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for those wonderful truths. Thank you that though we in our sin would so easily let go of you, you never let go of us. Thank you that you've set your love upon us and you will keep us for all eternity. Grant us now, Father, to trust your promises, to step out and live by faith, day by day, obeying you, loving you, serving you with all the strength and energy that you give us. Father, we commit ourselves to you. We pray now that you'll send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. And we pray that we might know your blessing, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to have a Zoom chat after this service. The details for that are as follows. It's Zoom number 493-732-9730. I'll say it again, and Becca's put it on the screen. 493-732-9730, and the password is 987654. As we close the service, we've recorded another song for you called The Faithful One. which just summarizes some of the truths we've thought about tonight, that God can always be trusted. So we're going to play this song and then we'll chat to you on Zoom. Good night, everyone.
And when the day is dawned, and when the race is run, I will bow down before God's only Son. And I will lift my hands in praise for all you've done, and I will worship you. The faithful one.